And now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Tell me the research that you did, Mr. Green.
Well, the research that we did, Phil, is based on the fact that women are not into politics the way men are. So that when 9/11 happened and women saw the World Trade Center come down, they made a subconscious connection, and this is interesting in the way that things happen. They made a subconscious connection between the falling of the World Trade Center and what would happen with advancing age to their breasts. Now
this is based on the fact that women are not into politics, so they interpret events differently from men?
Right. We took this research and put it into a commercial focus group, and along with our product manager, Larry Morgan, we came up with a product that capitalizes on women's non-political orientation and their tendency to worry about, you know, how they look, especially after 9/11. So we came up with a specially engineered and wired brassiere that we called the Twin Towers. It was simply a bra that was designed to give more lift and form and maintain shape. Big deal, all right? And we set up a booth at the New York Independent Trade Conference at Madison Square Garden.
All right, and you were dressed as firemen in this booth?
Right, that's to give women the connection. We had a sign on the front of the booth that said, "Don't let what happened to the World Trade Center happen to your breasts." This isn't something that we came up with on our own. This is based upon research that we did that women...
So to be absolutely clear, when women saw the World Trade Center fall, they made a subconscious connection between that and the way their body sags.
That's correct.
Right. You admitted later that in retrospect that might have been badly put. Putting a sign on the front of that booth that said "Don't let what happened to the World Trade Center happen to your breasts."
Well, in retrospect, I would agree, but I don't think it merited what happened to us later. And let me tell you what is offensive. And what is offensive is what can happen to a woman's breast after the age of 40. This started for me after my first marriage, you know, fell apart, and I was dating again. And I took a young lady to Hawaii because I had seen her out here in Manhattan Beach, and she was very lovely. So we went to Hawaii and we were intimate. When she took her top off, it was not what I expected. She had breasts that were.
All right, so they were sagging or something.
Yes, sir. And any man at the sight of this would have difficult time doing. You know what, so...
All right, but this is beside the point. On July 31st, you were at this trade show in a booth selling this new brassiere you call the Twin Towers, wearing firefighter uniforms, and an altercation began between you and a Mr. Jerry Neaton of Staten Island. Is that correct?
That is correct, and I'm glad that you brought that up. I suffered a dislocated shoulder, face lacerations, a dislodged cornea, bruising. I was also attacked with a knife. I had the top of my finger cut off. And this is what happens when businessmen try to do business.
All right, but you understand why this happened. This was a man who was extremely offended by the sign equating the trade center going down with the sagging of a woman's breasts during, later stages of life.
Yeah, but again, this is based upon the research that we did. And if it's flawed, it may be flawed, but I'm not doing it on purpose. That when women saw the World Trade Center collapse, they started thinking, look at that, that's what's going to happen to me. See that? The same thing will happen to my, the tatas or whatever you want to say. And so...
All right, I get what you're saying. You got a sign that says, "Don't let what happened to the World Trade Center happen to your breasts." That's offensive.
To men. It's offensive to men. I was attacked by a man.
Yeah, but you had a picture at the booth of the World Trade Center with a bra over it saying, "You may not be able to rebuild these, but you still got a chance to rebuild these," and a picture of a woman naked from the waist up, right?
That's right.
Do you understand that in light of what happened with the lives lost?
Well, what I had a picture of was her breasts, and the psychology and market research is not respected. I tell the women the truth about themselves, and their husbands go nuts. Now, I've been in the hospital for 2 weeks. I was thrown against two double metal doors. When I dove back in, my partner, Mr. Morgan, had broken off a bottle, was going after this guy. He was jumped from behind by two other guys. I grabbed this guy, Neaton, and then everything basically went black.
All right, our number is 1-800. What happened? Somebody tipped a kiosk?
There was a wristwatch kiosk nearby, and it was tipped over on me.
1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Mr. Robert Green, who is a You know, I want to resist the temptation to say that you are a commercial opportunist taking advantage of the tragedy of what happened on September the 11th.
I don't agree with that at all, sir. What I'm taking advantage of is the need on the part of women to look better, to feel better about themselves. I think what we did was if you want to call it insensitive, but did it warrant me having literally the crap kicked out of me? And this is not the first time. I've had business ideas in the past that have gotten a lot of people jealous and a lot of people angry at what I'm able to do. The message is clear. While men understand the political implications of 9/11, women are forever going to remember that day as the day they were hurtfully reminded that there are two other prominent things that are falling down. And that's the...
Their breasts.
Yes, sir.
Where was this research done?
This research was done by way of the Morgan Foundation. We did focus groups and research throughout the country over a two-week period, interviewing some 3,000 women.
And your research showed that these women were thinking about their breasts when the World Trade Center came down.
Subconsciously.
They were thinking...
No, but they were... subconsciously, they were thinking about their breasts when the World Trade Center came down.
They see the World Trade Center collapse, and they think, I need a new bra.
In the subconscious mind, that's what they're thinking. Before Mr. Neaton took it upon himself to start kicking, you know, the crap out of me, we had interest from women. We had...
Had you sold any of these brassieres?
We had women who were there interested. They were talking to us. I don't... Whether you want to say that it's a good product or bad, I didn't deserve to have the... Again, forgive my language, but I had the crap beat out of me by three guys and my partner... Because I'm trying to make a dollar.
Well, I'm not going to agree that you should be attacked. I am going to agree...
I mean, to me, that is not American.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's such a thing as fighting words. You call somebody a name, and that you better expect to have somebody beat the hell out of you.
I didn't call anybody any names.
No, but you got a sign that says, don't let what happened to the World Trade Center happen to your breasts. Then you got a picture of the World Trade Center with a brassiere over it. And then a picture of a woman nude from the waist up, and you're wearing firefighter uniforms.
That is absolutely right, because we wanted to make the connection, if it wasn't clear, between 9/11 and when what we were doing there, which is trying desperately to help women to feel better about themselves, look better. Again, I want to draw on my own experience. My marriage fell apart, and I was trying to climb back into the social game, and I took a young lady to Hawaii. And I had every reason to believe that she was built and was attractive. She took the top of her bikini off, and it was unattractive to the point where I had difficulty doing you-know-what.
Performing.
If you want to call it that.
You had difficulty to performing intimate relations with this woman because you didn't find her breasts attractive.
That is right. And again, this is something that helps both men and women. So... whether you agree with that or not, why do I get beat up?
Well, if I saw a guy with brassieres over the World Trade Center and all of that stuff, it would anger me.
Well, even on that day of tragedy, Katie Couric reporting the events live from New York that day, she kept saying, look at those things go down. And she was glancing at her own breasts. And
You can't say that.
We have videotape.
So what is your point? Why are you on our program?
My point is this. I want to be able to return to the Independent Trade Center. I want to be able to reset up the booth. I want to be able to sell the brassiere. We'll take down the sign that says, don't let what happened to the World Trade Center happen to your breasts. But we do want to keep the name Twin Towers for the brassiere.
So again, you want to continue to make the connection between the bra that you're selling and the two Twin Towers that went down.
I have that. I believe I have that right, because we want to capitalize... Well, you call it...
See, that's what I'm saying. You're capitalizing commercially.
Well, that's what you call it. But I have a right to make a tie-in.
Yeah, a tie-in between something that was a tragedy. We've been talking to a lot of guys like you over the last few days, people trying to capitalize on 9/11, and I want you to understand what it is you're doing to people who suffered, okay? People who had a loss, people who had a tragic personal experience.
All right, so what's wrong with me taking the tragedy of a woman's body falling after the age of 40 and lifting it back up again? We may not be able to rebuild the Twin Towers, but we can sure get a woman's, you know, get those things back up in the air. And it's not me making the connection of the towers, the breasts. Ask any woman out there. It's the women that make that connection.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green, who was physically assaulted at a trade center, some kind of an independent trade conference in New York, after he had a booth selling what he called the Twin Towers brassiere. Don't let what happened to the Twin Towers happen to your breasts. So he made the point that most women are subconsciously connecting the falling of the trade tower, the World Trade Center, with the inevitable gravity that takes over the older they get with their breasts. So we could ask the women out there, did you, he said it's subconscious, so it may not be a conscious thing. Did you make a conscious connection? If not, are you aware of a subconscious connection between your body, advancing age, and the World Trade Center falling down? 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
With me, Robert Green. You're in the hospital right now, too.
That is correct. I've been in the hospital since a week ago, Sunday.
You got another week to stay there, right?
Yeah.
You were beaten up at a trade conference because you were selling a brassiere called the Twin Towers and a sign that said, don't let what happened to the Twin Towers happen to your breasts. You're making the comment that most women connect the falling of the World Trade Center with the sagging of their bodies.
But they do it subconsciously. Women don't know they're doing it. But because most women don't understand and aren't really familiar with politics, they go to a place that they are familiar with. And that is beauty, makeup, fashion. And so when they saw the World Trade Center fall and they didn't quite understand the politics behind it, they immediately began thinking about, you know, their you want to call it their boobs dropping down or whatever. So we capitalize on that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, the number. Here is Nancy. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, Mr. Green.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Green, I'm surprised you're not in the psych ward for your views and ideas on what women think and feel. I think capitalize on the World Trade Center and make our coalition that we actually think it has to do with our breasts is absurd and crazy. Actually, I think that you probably are feeling a little Freudian about your testicles, and maybe you're just turning it on women when it's really you. You should try to
That's kind of classic, you know. Women
don't attack me
because you don't want to face
please.
The truth.
Why are you even?
Women don't understand.
Women. You're
women,
a man. Why
no, because we've
women?
Done. Because I'm a businessman and we've done focus groups.
So you're women, talking about money. You're not talking about women. You're
well,
I'm talking about
selling. I'm talking about selling a product. And the
it
product
has nothing to do with the tragedy of the World Trade Center.
You know as well as I do that
and
women don't understand politics.
And you need to see a strength. And if I ever saw your booth somewhere, I'd knock it on you too.
I don't think that being a female, you're going to do much damage to me.
I could do a lot of damage to you. I bring all my girls.
Every
to see
female
you.
Broadcaster had tears in her eyes as they reported the events of 9/11 because they realized what they were seeing in the towers.
How
they
do you
were
know
seeing
that?
Their own bodies.
What women have you ever talked to?
I just told
that
Mr. Henry
said
we
that
did.
To
I
you.
Just told Mr. Henry we did a focus group. We did research.
What, track addicts and junkies what kind of women?
People like you, and if you're a crack addict and a junkie,
so.
Then I suppose we, you know, if the shoe
and
fits,
wear it. Women like me are offended by what you are saying. We think that you're ridiculous.
Yeah, well, that's a case
of
killing.
And we would never, ever buy your product.
That's a case of killing
ever.
The messenger rather than the message, so I don't know what to tell you.
Well,
but
before I got attacked,
we had a lot of women standing at the booth.
So you say you claim that you had interest from women at this trade show in your Twin Towers brassiere.
With all due respect to the lady, how close are your breasts to your belt?
Oh, they're practically on my belly button, but I sure
yeah, there you go.
Think
all
about
right.
them.
And maybe you
know
what you
want
to think about is the man in your life and how offensive that may be to him.
I don't care about what he thinks about it, or I would never change my body for another person. It doesn't matter to me what you think.
Well, a lot of women care about, you know, grossing their husbands out. And
what was this grossing their husbands out?
They're not intelligent, and they're the same kind of women that you polled for your little invention here. They're not educated, caring, sensitive people.
You know, Dr. Laura, you know, it would be great to keep talking to you, but...
All right, you don't have to get sarcastic.
Well, she thinks she's some kind of a head shrinker. If your husband wanted flapjacks, he'd go to Denny's.
All right,
No, I'm serious.
Well, that's offensive.
I'm serious.
You
all right, thank you for your call.
I'm glad you're in the hospital. You're right where you need to be.
Yeah,
sir.
You sound like you got a couple of rocks in the socks.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Robert Green of... what is the name of your company, sir?
Basically, we have we're trying to ink the company right now, incorporate the company, but it's based upon a Sunrise Inventions model, and most of the inventions that we come up with are designed to help the modern, the current lifestyle of American women and men. But this idea did not come to me out of the blue. This came to me first when I went to Hawaii, and this girl that I was dating. You know,
you already told us she took off her top, and then you had a hard time performing.
That is correct.
Well, how do we know that this isn't just something that is a problem with you?
Before you go down the road where you're getting slanderous, Mr. Henry.
I'm not being slanderous. How do we know that this problem you had sexually performing with this woman wasn't just something unique to you?
The you know, because you can ask any woman that I've ever been with. I am dynamite in bed. And
you mentioned your marriage falling apart.
My marriage fell apart for a lot of different reasons. My wife was cheating on me.
Well, if you're dynamite in bed, I don't know why your wife is cheating on you. 1-800...
But can I be allowed to finish my point?
1-800-449-8686. Go ahead, finish your point.
The fact of the matter is that when those babies came out of her top, it was bad. And that's what I decided to do what I was going to do.
So, all right. Let me go over to Yvette. Yvette, go ahead.
Mr. Green.
Yes, ma'am.
I've got to tell you, you are one of the most shallow men I have ever heard. Any man...
I'm not the one buying the brassiere, ma'am.
Yes, you're shallow because you think that women think that that's all there is to them, is just their bodies. That's not the way it is at all. That's your eyes, your shallowness. You are the one that thinks that... just because someone doesn't have
In other words, I invested $20,000 of my money because I'm shallow. There's a demand for this product.
I understand why your first marriage fell apart.
All right,
it's very, very clear.
Do you know about politics?
Yes, I do know
you
about
do.
Politics.
All right, let me ask you a question. What's the name of the organization currently running Afghanistan?
And that's supposed to be...
You don't know. See, you don't know anything about...
I don't know.
And that's why women...
You don't know that I don't know. You're,
all right, well,
you're
tell
an
me.
Idiot.
Well, tell me.
Okay, let me ask you this.
No, wait a minute. I asked the question. You got to answer my question. Who is the president of Afghanistan?
That's a stupid question.
No, it isn't. It's a political... Mr. Henry, do you know?
I know, but only because I work in a news organization.
Well, what's his name?
His name is Hamid Karzai.
Okay, see, he knew because he's a man and he's into politics. You're a woman and you're into fashion.
You're a fascist pig. I'm sorry.
Wait a second. I just proved it by asking you who the president of whatever it is. I don't know, Afghanistan.
Well, I don't care who the president of Afghanistan is.
Because you don't care about politics. You do care about fashion.
You don't know. It's not true. You don't know what I think.
I've asked you the question. You can't tell me.
I know what you think, though.
This
you think that just because a woman is...
I didn't know
what the woman is.
I'm
the woman is a
kind
of brain, and she has other part of her other than her body.
So when you saw the World Trade Center fall, you didn't go into the bathroom and take a peek?
You know what I did?
Come on.
Those women, newscasters that watch that, they had tears in their eyes.
Hold on, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green with the Twin Towers Brawl. I'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
With me is Robert Greene. He's a businessman hospitalized after being attacked at a kiosk in New York. He was selling so-called Twin Towers brassieres. Now, you were beaten up by the husband of a woman to whom you'd made an offensive remark, right?
No, sir, I had not made an offensive remark.
Well, what was the remark?
I said to her, as I was selling these brassieres, they're designed to lift up the breasts in a way so as not to be the World Trade Center falling down.
And what was the remark you made to the woman?
I said to her, you look like you got some ground zero working there.
Meaning she was not all that well supported.
That the boobs were...
That she didn't have a lot of support.
Exactly. And so that's when he went after me.
I got to tell you, if I'm that woman's husband, I do the same thing.
Then you're breaking the law. You're breaking... Let me explain something, Mr. Henry. There's a law against assault and battery in this country. You're breaking the law. There is a law against assault and battery.
Well, it would be tempting to me to go after you if you said something to my wife like, looks like you got some ground zero working there. And didn't you throw in the word baby?
I don't recall.
Well, Mrs. Neaton, her name is Janet Neaton, said, you said, looks like you got some ground zero working there, baby.
Look, women don't know politics. When planes fly overhead, the first thing they think about, they instinctively go for their breasts.
Well, look, you know,
I can prove it. Who's the Secretary of Defense?
Donald Rumsfeld.
There isn't a woman out there know that. I asked that last lady who the president of Afghanistan. All they know is fashion and...
Well, that's such an antiquated notion. I don't know where to begin. Let me go back to Yvette here, and then we'll move on. 1-800-449-8686. Go ahead, Yvette.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
This is still me, and I want to ask you, when those Twin Towers were falling down, is that what you were thinking about, women's breasts?
No, I was not. It was only
I was thinking about people that were dying horribly.
Yes, but subconsciously.
No,
again,
not
I use the word
subconsciously.
See, subconscious.
There's no way that anybody can tell me what I think of subconsciously.
No, you're right. But yes, subconsciously is
what
happens.
You're trying to do. You're saying that all women think subconsciously about the breasts, and they were worried about the people that were inside. See, now, men.
Yeah, they were worried consciously about the people inside, but subconsciously you're worried about those babies.
Women. The way that you say boobs, you don't even have a proper, you don't know anything about the anatomy, obviously.
And I meant to say breasts.
Wait a minute. You said your bras hold up the boobs, but and you said that woman in Hawaii had her boobs held up. Your words, the boobs. And
ma'am, I meant to say breasts.
She took the bra off, and you didn't like her anymore.
I got to tell you, and I don't mean to offend you, when a guy gets a look at that, he'd rather go have a good book.
Only guy that is shallow. Anyone that has any brain at all and looks at the woman, as a person, doesn't get turned off by that. Only a shallow man would.
Well,
and nobody really
you
cares
can attack
about a shallow
men.
Man.
You can attack men, but when you
I'm not attacking men. I'm attacking you because you're an idiot.
When you see a plane
you
flying over
you deserve to get attacked.
Well, there's a law against assault and battery.
I know a law. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I know,
and I'll tell you something else.
With idiots like you, there shouldn't be.
I'll tell you this
you know
much.
What?
When a plane flies overhead,
good
lady.
Good luck to you because you are an idiot and you're going to need all the luck you can get.
Well, when a plane flies overhead, I keep my hands off of my breasts, if that's the word you want.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Margo on the Phil Hendry Show. Margo?
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. The problem that I have with you, gentlemen, sir, whatever your name is
my
that
name is Robert Green.
If you are supposed to be an educated businessman, at least someone educated enough to know that he had to do focus group, you should have taken business ethics in your education to know that you have to be socially responsible. You can make all the push-up bras you want. You have that right. But you also have to be socially responsible in marketing your product. You
Agreed.
Should be smart enough to know.
I don't disagree with that.
You should be smart enough to know that the problem that America is having with this is that you're not being socially responsible. If we're in a culture and a society that makes us that teaches us to be socially responsible. That's what's going on. That's why they're attacking you. Right or wrong, they're attacking you, but that's why.
Well, all right,
because
now,
they know
that disagree with
certain
you.
Things are just wrong. That's
what
why
am I
riots
doing,
happen.
What am I doing with the, that's socially irresponsible?
You're using a tragedy that happened in this country to market your product. Make your product. Have fun with your product. Do what you got to do. Make billions of dollars. But do not capitalize on a tragedy that's being socially irresponsible. And obviously,
I would never
you're talking about women that don't have any education. Well, honey, you should have passed business ethics.
Look, social responsibility is not scaring children because they think that lady has two ferrets in her shirt. My idea came as the result of what women thought. I didn't think it up. They did.
No, you, but still,
they were thinking about their
breasts. This obviously distorted information, however you got it.
Well, now that's
your
opinion.
Okay, let's for argument's sake say your information was accurate.
All right.
You, as a business person in America, you are supposed to be socially responsible enough to know not to capitalize on a tragedy in order to get personal gain.
I mean, we could go to these signs.
Right.
We could go to these signs you have in your kiosk. One of them said, "Help rebuild America, rebuild your breasts."
That's correct.
And you don't think that there's anything wrong with that?
Well, you see, you keep bringing it back to me. I'm not the one that went out and the ladies that they talked to said, you know, that really bugged me when I saw the World Trade Center come down because I realized I'm hitting 40.
Right.
They did.
You don't think that what you're doing is socially irresponsible.
How can it be socially irresponsible?
Make a push-up bra. Do what you have to do. This is the American way. You're supposed to want to be an entrepreneur. Go right ahead. But the thing is that you're being irresponsible.
Well, I'm trying
socially.
I'm trying to keep marriages together, keep people
socially
happy.
My
marriage fell apart.
You're not.
My marriage fell apart.
You keep talking about your marriage falling apart.
How can you keep someone's marriage together and you couldn't keep your own together?
Look at that. Now, can I just say something? Because a nurse just went by. She could raise my tower. Now, that's what I'm talking about.
No,
can we get back? You're in a
hospital to get better.
Yeah. Checking out nurses?
Okay, so in other words, I'm not allowed to do that.
No, I don't understand. Are you educated or are you just, I mean,
ma'am, I'm educated, but I know what makes the world go
around.
Why
would you make such comments that don't make it? You're not making sense, sir. If you're really trying to market your product, you yourself have to make sense, and you're not making any sense.
What am I not saying? I saw things
that aren't making any sense. We're talking about your product, and you're talking about a nurse?
I saw
your product.
And she had a nice pair on her, and Mr. Henry doesn't want me to
What about that. Your? What does that have to do with your product?
So you think it's socially irresponsible to sell a Twin Tower bra? All right, so...
No, we're talking about the nurse.
Then I won't sell a Pentagon
panties. What does that have to do with your product?
Wait a minute.
You're not showing yourself as a smart business man right now, sir.
What are the Pentagon panties?
You're not showing yourself as very intelligent right now. I thought you were the king of intelligence. After you are a man, you're not being very intelligent right now.
I saw a hot nurse. I said, look at that. Boy, I could put my 747 in that hanger. But here's
Will you talk to the woman that you're talking to on the air and forget about the nurses? You're in the hospital after having the hell kicked out of you by a guy who was offended by a remark. And what do you mean you're selling the Pentagon panties?
They're a pair of panties with a Pentagon on them.
And then you got a pair of men's underwear with an airplane on it.
You're not educated, are you, sir? You're just playing. You're not educated.
Ma'am,
you really are not.
The School of Hard Knocks, that's the school I went to. I've been a businessman for the last 15 years.
What school did you go to?
And what is the underwear, "Hey, Bin Laden, you missed the hole"? What's that about?
Okay, which question do I answer first? What school did I go to? I went to the School of Hard Knocks.
So you didn't go to college, all right. What high school did you go to?
You have no basis in which to say women are educated or not educated because you yourself are not educated.
Okay, who's the
president? And you certainly are not presenting yourself as an educated person right now.
Who's the Who's the Secretary of State?
Rumsfeld?
No,
he's
the Secretary of Defense. Secretary, see? This is what I'm saying.
Colin Powell, hello, I just didn't hear you. Colin Powell. Colin Powell.
She didn't know. She didn't know.
She just said Colin Powell.
I just said Colin Powell.
She said Rumsfeld, which is a total wrong answer.
She said Powell. She didn't hear you. She said Powell.
Moron, I'm a pre-law major, you moron.
Yeah, I said Secretary of State, and you go, Donald Rumsfeld. See, that right away is stupid.
Secretary of State is Colin Powell.
Right.
Secretary of Defense is Rumsfeld.
Who else
do you want to know? Condoleezza Rice. Who else do you want to talk about?
Secretary of Agriculture. Yeah.
No, you tell me who the Secretary of Agriculture is.
I know. Mo Green.
Mo Green, huh?
Yes, sir.
Mo Green was a character in The Godfather.
Thank you. You're a moron. You're an idiot. You're using, you obviously have no other way to any other marketing for your product
education.
But to do bad taste marketing. And this is why you will continue to get beat up and get used to the hospital because you're obviously going to be there every time you try and go and market
every
this
time
product.
Every time you try to sell a product, you'll get beaten up again.
Who's Mohammed Abububaba?
Who?
Mohammed Abu Bubaba.
There's no such guy. You're making the name up. What do you think of that?
Well, now
when it comes to intellect, sir, you're trying to challenge me intellectually, and you're losing.
So
you're coming up with nonsense.
Who's Mohammed Abu
Bubaba? You're coming up with nonsense.
No, ma'am.
You're making up names because you don't know the answer to any of these questions. Mo Green.
What's the main export of Uganda?
All right, thank you very much, Margo.
Oh, see, you're not going to make her answer that.
No, because you don't know the answer either.
I do know the main export of Uganda is black people. See, neither one of you people think. You don't think clearly.
The main export of Uganda is black people.
Right. They're leaving there all the time. Okay, how much wood could a woodchuck...
Get out of here! 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You're there?
Yeah, I'm right here. And I want to remind you, I'm laying in a hospital bed after being physically assaulted.
Yeah, after being physically assaulted because you said to some guy's wife she looked like she was hitting ground zero with her sagging breasts. 1-800-449-8686. Margo, go ahead.
Yeah, I hung up before he could tell me who the main exporter out of Uganda was.
I'm sorry?
I hung up before I could hear your answer to the main exporter from Uganda or whatever.
Can
you tell me who that was?
The main exporter? No, the question was what was the main export?
And what is that? I think I heard wrong.
I said black people.
Oh,
obviously,
okay. So,
yeah.
So black people, what exactly do you mean by that?
Because they're leaving there every day, it's bad there.
All right. Were you joking?
Because I just wanted to let him know that I am a black female. And I want to know exactly what he meant by that. And to keep in mind that in his market research, did he do any research on the percentage of black females that could possibly want to buy his product? And he's making, again, socially irresponsible comments. Like that as a businessman, and again, nurses, what percentage of nurses are female, and what percentage of them in the hospital you're laying in asking for care are black women? I think you need to check yourself.
Well, the one that I saw go by was black, and she was built like a brick house. I mean, I don't know what you're getting at.
Why would you make a stupid comment?
Well, can I ask you a question? When did you...
Black people are the main... What kind of stupid comment is that?
Did you leave Uganda? I'm not understanding.
No, she's an American. She's an American.
What does that have to do again with your product? You're again showing how much of a moron.
Here's what I was saying.
And how uneducated you are.
Wait a minute, ma'am. The people were saying that women know about politics, and I said no, they don't know as much as men do about politics.
So what black people were the main export out of Uganda?
You were trying to be a smartass, isn't that right, Mr. Green?
Export is a thing, you idiot.
Weren't you trying to be a smartass?
People are not things, so therefore they are not exports, you moron.
Mr. Henry, I'd like to remind you, you would know that, you moron. I had a kiosk dropped on me, and now I'm getting physically abused by your callers. So I'm laying
good.
In the house.
You need to be physically abused, and I hope you continue to get physically abused. And I hope you go to school,
ma'am,
and stop trying to put down women who you say are uneducated.
Right.
And meanwhile, you're going around calling people things.
Can I ask you a question?
Things are exports.
No, they're not. But
people
are
not exports. They emigrated. I got a book.
At
it. That's the correct word.
Emigrate. Exactly. Not export. Emigrate.
Okay. I got a book at home called National Geographic. They got black females there. And you could, I could put the Twin Tower bra on them.
See, there you go. Marketing
what
your
the
product.
Hell?
You don't have no education. Okay,
what?
You know, sir, I'm
ma'am,
sorry
I don't
you
think
have
you
to
wanna,
keep talking to him.
I don't think
Good
you
luck.
Understand. Is your name Fargo?
Yeah, it is.
Margo.
And now you're deaf, too. You're deaf, too.
It's Fargo.
Margo.
You're a moron. I don't even know if you're for real. If this is for real, if this is some kind of joke, you need to stop it because it's not funny. And if this is for real,
let me
go
ask
back
a question.
To school.
Why were you laughing then if you didn't think it was funny?
What was funny? I'm not laughing.
I heard you laugh.
You see, you're an idiot. You're just an idiot.
You are. You're an idiot, Bob.
Well, if I'm an idiot, you're an idiot.
Why?
There you go.
Sorry,
you got to keep talking to him. But
I'm an idiot,
I just wanted to clarify.
If I'm an idiot, Bill Henry's an idiot.
And set him straight on what he said.
The number one export from Uganda is them masks that they paint up, the ones that you can buy and you can put them in your living room.
What masks?
The ones that they have when they go on the warpath.
Ones that who have when they go on what warpath?
When the Zulu attacked those British guys, they had, remember those Zulu masks?
The Zulu?
They are the number one export
of Uganda, yeah. Those
that is the number one. That is what the government of Uganda bases its economy on, those masks.
Yeah, well, Uganda.
Is that what you're sitting here trying to tell the listening audience? Is that the educated information you're trying to tell?
Uganda's doing pretty good on those masks.
Well, then how come everybody's leaving?
Because the government is not giving them no rights.
Because the government's not giving them no rights.
Yeah.
See, you're just, you know what you're doing? All you're doing is trying to sucker people in right now to switch the subject because what you've made before was a stupid statement. You're just trying to change the subject away from the stupid comment that you made.
What comment did I make? I said
now you're
that
trying
you...
to ask me what comment you made. Now you have amnesia.
No, you're saying I gave you the number one export. The other thing, they exported them lip plates.
You know, you're very good at talking.
You're a real jackass.
Maybe what you need to do is maybe write children's books or become Bozo the Clown. Entertain at children's parties, because obviously you're not an entrepreneur for any type of product to be sold to the general public.
I bet you keep the man in your
Bozo
life.
Bozo the Clown.
I bet you keep the man in your life on his toes.
That's as much sense that you make right now. Bozo the Clown.
So that's it. My whole life reduced to that, huh?
Yes.
The other thing they export from Uganda.
Let me be your talent agent right now.
All right.
Bozo the Clown would be most appropriate.
And the number three export from Uganda are cool cigarettes.
Listen, take your little jokes, these little jokes
yeah,
you're making now, and
exactly,
use them at children's parties.
Exactly.
I'm sure they'll go over very well.
Okay, Margo, that was me doing the voice of Bob Green. Thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. That was me doing Bob's voice. And Margo, she's a good kid. I like her. Cool cigarettes and lip plates. Yeah, okay. Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website, philhendrieshow.com.
Bill Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, the Amber Alert, once again, doing a great job. Margaret Gray is on the line with us. Margaret, you there?
I'm right here, Phil.
All right. The news that we have, if you heard earlier today, a little girl in Riverside by the name of Nicole Taylor Timmons, according to police, disappeared sometime before 7 a.m. this morning when her mother found her missing from her bedroom in Riverside, California. Now, a police spokesman, Lieutenant John Wallace, said police had information that made them believe her disappearance was more than a walk away and that some sort of foul play or abduction was involved.
That's correct, yes.
All right, now, one of the other officers said authorities received hundreds of calls after the two-state alert was issued. This is the Amber Alert. And the Amber Alert is a nationwide broadcast, an emergency response broadcast nationwide. It's a voluntary partnership between law enforcement agencies and broadcasters to activate an urgent bulletin in the most serious child abduction cases. It's been used a couple of times this month and has been used at least on two occasions successfully. This is one of them. Now, the little girl's mother realized her daughter was missing around 7 a.m. The alert was issued a few hours later. From the beginning, police said they wanted to question two men. One of them was Nicole's father, Ralph Timmons, and a guy by the name of Glenn Park, who was a babysitter, and he was said to be driving an 82 Dodge pickup. The police would not discuss the nature of the relationship between Park and Nicole's mother. When asked whether the two were involved in a relationship, the police said, "We are not ready to discuss that information at this time." But what happened was the Nevada Highway Patrol rescued. Now they're saying most recently that it was Indian tribal police. It was on an Indian reservation that took this man into custody. But they're giving credit here to the Nevada Highway Patrol rescuing the little girl, and they arrested this guy, Glenn Park, who was a babysitter and a family friend who used to live in the Riverside area. She was found with Park after his truck was stopped on U.S. 95 near Hawthorne, about 130 miles southeast of Reno, Nevada. He was taken to the Mineral County Jail in Hawthorne, Nevada, and it's not clear what charges would be filed against him. So this kid is absolutely safe.
And that was the Amber Alert that did that too, Phil. And I think it's very important for people to understand it's a wonderful, wonderful partnership, as you mentioned, between broadcasters. The thing that concerns me, though, is parents such as myself who are interested in the pre-Amber Alert. The pre-Amber Alert is the next level. We take it to the next level. This is where we are able to send out the pictures and vital statistics of children who are high-risk abduction cases.
Now, are you saying kids that have not yet been...
Not yet been abducted, that's right.
So that's why you call it a pre-Amber Alert?
That is why we're calling it that. And when you are the mother of a son like mine, Jason J. Delmonico, he is a young man, he is a sought-after child actor, he is a beautiful young boy, he is blonde, he has blue eyes, he's very, very unique in that he is very intelligent. He has what we call the five L's, and that is looks, learning. I don't have all of them with me. Oh, the five L's, extraordinary. Looks, leadership ability, learning, lots of potential for income, and lots of talent. These are the children that are at risk for the pre-Amber Alert. And I say this, Phil... And again, this is only for high-risk children. And I say this, Phil...
Well, I don't know what you mean by high-risk.
Well, what I mean by high-risk are children who would be most likely to be abducted. Not really the most likely to be abducted, but the ones, if they were abducted, if, would constitute a very, very serious crime because they are unique. And I'm not saying more valuable, but unique. And I say this, Phil, as a mother with great love in my heart, but my boy is a beautiful little blonde 9-year-old. He has blonde hair, beautiful blue eyes, and you know the sick animals that are out there that would victimize children. And I say this with great love in my heart, but my little boy has a very cute ass. And the reason why I say that is because this is why these sick animals... And
well, we don't need to go there. Now, you...
No, but this is how these sick animals operate.
All right, you believe your son should have a pre... So, in other words, let's get the information about your son out there now before he's abducted.
That's right. We need to get out information about certain children before they're kidnapped, because if they're kidnapped, we got ourselves a problem. Houston, we've got a problem. Now, Jason J. Delmonico, and I have his vitals, Phil. Did you get the facts?
I have the facts here.
So, I would appreciate if you'd read that on the air. To let people know...
Well, before I do that, I want to give her phone number, 1-800-449-8686. Do you think that some children are so valuable? How many kids would you say in this country are entitled to a pre-Amber Alert, meaning even before they're abducted, their faces and their vital statistics get out there because their abduction would be a serious thing?
No more than probably... I think it's a significant number, but no more than 63 or 65.
65 kids in the entire United States deserve a pre-Amber Alert?
Yes.
All right. I have the statistics on your son, Jason J. Delmonico. He went to Montessori Kindergarten. He was chosen on the Disney cruise to go on the bridge to meet the captain. He's the only child on the entire ship to do so.
That is correct.
He has a 3.0 grade point average. He has met Colin Hanks.
And that is Tom Hanks' son.
All right, I understand that. He's also met Jake Kasdan. Who? Is that?
That's Lawrence Kasdan's son.
All right. In fact, it was Jake Kasdan who said Jason J. may very well be the next Leo DiCaprio.
The next Leo DiCaprio. I think that's significant. And I think that's really what we're talking about. All right, and there's more.
All right, now, you know who it is. Okay, by the way, Colin Hanks and Jake Kasdan are two of the 60s. So they are two of the kids?
Yes, Colin Hanks, Jake Kasdan, Jason Dale DeMonico, Haley Joel Osment. There are a number of them that I think warrant a pre-Amber Alert. Get their names, get their faces out there so that we can begin to protect these children before they're abducted.
All right. I will grant you that your son is a special kid. What about all the other children? Just because they don't have the five L's, are they not worthy to be saved from an abductor?
No, I'm not saying that at all, Phil, and I'm very saddened that you would read it that way. All children are precious, and we should do all we can to find them if abducted. But what I'm saying is these 63 children, we should do all we can before they get abducted. So do all you can after the other ones get abducted. Do all you can for these 63 children before they're abducted. And if any of these 63 go missing, then we have got a very real and serious problem. And I think people such as yourself, Mr. Henry, could be held culpable.
Because I'm a broadcaster.
Yes.
Well, there's no official pre-Amber Alert that I know of. 1-800-449-8686. Christine, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi. I just am calling to let her know that every child is a gift from God.
Absolutely.
And no, God does not put anybody's worth above anybody else's. He would choose anybody the same. You are in no right to say that your child or these 63 other children are above anybody else's.
I'm simply saying let's get their faces and names out there before they're abducted.
But how do you know? Why would somebody target your child above Samantha Runyon? She was an everyday American child. All of these children are everyday American children. I have not seen anything that this
high-profile
child.
Right. I will tell you why, Christine. The five L's: looks, leadership, learning.
That has nothing to do with it. You can have a positively brilliant child that is not attractive. That makes no sense.
Yes, it does make sense, because there are certain children that if we lose those children, it literally alters the course of civilization.
And oh, come on. I mean, your son...
Phil, again, my boy is very attractive.
And my baby is attractive
all right.
as well.
I'm sure that she is, but is she bright? Is she particularly bright?
Yes, she is. She's 10 months old.
All right.
Okay, I don't know how well she's going to do in school,
right.
But
well,
she is...
I already know how well my son does in school. He has a
3.0. But
now,
you know what? He could turn into a teenager and go completely the different way than you want him to go.
Does your baby do this kind of thing? Does she play with her food?
Yes. You know what?
All
I'm
right.
not going to compare my child to yours.
That's a sign of, and I want to be kind, but it's a sign of a little
child,
bit of a
right?
dim, just a kind of a dim bulb. You know what
oh,
I mean by
no.
a dim bulb?
Children play with their food.
Jason J. Delmonico didn't.
Well, you know what? You may not think that I'm much of a success, Margaret, but I'm sure I played with my food. In fact, to this day, I still play with my food.
You know, Phil, you're very funny, and it's the reason why I love your program, but I'd like you to remain serious.
I'm being serious.
If we lost one of these 63, the world could be thrust into an ice age. Now, Tammy, I want you to... Or is it Christine? I'm sorry. Christine?
Yes?
Yeah, I want you to consider this.
You know what I consider? I consider that you are a quack. I consider that you love your child a lot.
Your kid is the
you
one that plays with his food, not mine.
You cannot place him over anyone else.
Did your child ever take dew out of her diaper and throw it on the wall?
You know what? I am not
you know how
comparing
stupid
my
that
child.
Is?
You know what? She has never done that. No, she has never done that.
I mean,
and I'm not comparing my child to yours, okay?
Thank you.
I'm confident.
Thank you. Thank you for not comparing your child to mine, because as you know, it
Oh, yes. He is so much better. Do you know that nobody is better than anybody else?
My son is blonde, blue-eyed, and I say this with great love. There's sick bastards out there. He's got a great little butt on him.
And that's disgusting that you look at your child's butt in that way.
I have to. I have to protect my son.
That is not protecting your son by looking at his butt and saying, oh, he has a nice butt. What is next? Are you going to say, he has a very large penis?
I have to understand why one of these animals would come after him. Now, if we lose one of these 63, we may never find a cure for cancer. Are you willing to take that risk?
Oh, what are you talking about?
Bill, I'll tell you something right now. My hand to God, if my son is abducted and he's lost forever because you didn't want to read his vital statistics on the air, I will find you and I will kill you using whatever implement I can get my hands on. That's how strongly I feel about it.
Well, now you've threatened my life.
That's a nice threat.
Yeah, now you've threatened my life on the air for everybody to hear. Christine, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. He's got a nice butt. Margaret Gray is with us. We were talking, thank God, about the Amber Alert saving this little girl, Nicole Taylor Timmons, today. Amber Alert works. Now Margaret wants a pre-Amber Alert, meaning certain children get their pictures and their statistics out there even before they're abducted, because if they're abducted, their intelligence, potential intelligence as adults, could shift the future of civilization. And she numbers one of her kids among them. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
With Margaret Gray. Margaret, your idea is a pre-Amber Alert for certain kids who are so valuable to this society and are so special that their names and their vital statistics get broadcast before they're abducted.
That's basically it, yes.
And yet you also say that other kids will only get their vital statistics out there after they're abducted.
I think there needs to be a line drawn, Phil, and I don't think it's a very big line.
But it does say that some kids are more special than others. 1-800-449-8686. Tammy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes. Mrs. Ray, aren't you afraid that when you have people cry wolf, in a sense, you might desensitize people to what the true Amber Alert was really designed to do?
No, I'm not sure I know what you mean. In other words, if we put the names of these children out in public...
No, what I'm saying, ma'am, is that what you're suggesting... You are suggesting that you put out a pre-Amber Alert on children that might be susceptible to this?
Yes.
Okay. Now, aren't you afraid that, in a sense, when you cry wolf like that, you would desensitize the general public when a true Amber Alert is needed?
It's not crying wolf. What it's basically saying, for instance, we have high security around...
No, it certainly is.
No. We have high security around bridges.
That would be irresponsible.
Now, please, allow me to finish. We have high security around bridges and nuclear power plants. Why not put high security around the more valuable children that we have?
You know what? Earlier you said they weren't more valuable. You said they were unique.
Well, they're unique, yes. That's a better word. I'm sorry. But why shouldn't we put more
security? Your child is no better than others, ma'am. I am not a parent myself, but I am so angered by your comments. They are just irresponsible.
My child...
To suggest that a pre-Amber Alert is needed, you know, do your job as a parent.
Did you hear the statistics?
Participate in your community and such a crazy thing is needed.
Did you hear the statistics on my son?
I really don't care about the statistics of your
son. He went to Montessori kindergarten.
For the cute butt that your child has, and I can't believe you would use such terms.
That is absolutely...
You know something? I'm a mother.
Amazing.
Don't you go there. Don't you dare go there. I'm his mother.
You know what,
and
ma'am?
There's a lot of
loving mothers in this world out there.
If we don't save the 63 special children, Castro could rise out of Cuba.
You know what? Special, you're nuts, ma'am.
How am I? Oh, I see. So, in other words, saving children makes me nuts. Boy, you really have your priorities.
No, ma'am. I'm all for saving children.
We have 63 children.
And that's exactly
if they are not saved, we could have the moon spinning out of its orbit, hitting the Earth. Now, scientists have said this is
possible. You can't preordain history.
And the Earth could crash into the sun.
Who do you think you are?
Wait a minute. You're telling me that if we don't save these 63 kids, the moon leaves its orbit, hits the Earth, and we crash into the sun.
And there are scientists who will tell you it's possible.
About what?
About the 63 children.
Ma'am, you know, those 63 children have loving, caring parents, and they can take care of them and participate with authorities to take care of them.
All right, Tammy, listen to this. Tammy, listen to this.
Don't desensitize the general public.
Number one.
When it's truly needed, when a child is abducted.
Number one. He went to Montessori kindergarten. He was chosen to go on the Disney cruise to go on the bridge to
make the country. That's really nice, and I'm happy for you.
He's the only child on the entire ship to do so. He has a 3.0 grade average.
You know, man, when I first stumbled across the station, I was listening to the show. I thought you were a joke.
He has met Jake Kasdan.
I thought this was a station prank.
Right. It's a prank to save children. You know what you need to do? Get married, have children, you'll understand. Because
I understand. You're so out there. You're so off the wall.
I think you might as well, if you don't agree with the pre-Amber Alert, you might as well suck every child from their mother's womb for the next 20 years.
Get a life, ma'am. Get a life.
I've got a son and a husband. I have a life. How about you?
Well, I certainly don't need a son and a husband to make my life complete. However,
all right, okay. The bowling league is Wednesday night. Then what else do you do?
All right, now you're being just a smartass because the lady is beating you point by point in her argument.
How do you figure she's beating me point by point?
She said you're making some crackpot things about, what do you mean your kid was chosen to go on the bridge at the Disney cruise?
That was a very...
I don't even think that point is relevant to the subject at hand, ma'am.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And
you're talking about the Amber Alert. It's a serious issue, and it's not a joke.
It is very serious, and thank God the Amber Alert saved that child. Why not save children before they're abducted? That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's kooky. Thanks for
that
your call, Tammy.
For children when they're abducted.
All right.
Sir, I really have to go.
Thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. It's a pretty far-out idea. I recognize that you're saying that we should protect bridges from terrorist attack and we need to protect our nuclear power plants from terrorist attack. That's one thing. There's no way you can protect every kid in America.
I'm not talking about every kid in America, Phil. I'm talking about 63 very special children. I'm talking about children who someday could find a cure for cancer, someday could help save the planet Earth from the moon leaving its orbit. I'm talking about...
Well, these are all scientific things. So far, you've only mentioned Jake Kasdan, Colin Hanks, and your kid.
I'm talking about my child was at a Montessori kindergarten.
All right, I'm not familiar.
All right, let me tell you. Montessori is the most brilliant school that has ever been invented, and you only get in if your child is brilliant. My child got into Montessori. And the fact of the matter is, people have questioned me saying that my boy has a cute little rear end. What do you think these sick creeps out there are thinking?
Please don't talk any more about your kid that way, all right?
I'm a mother, Phil, and...
I know you're a mother, and I know that Jason J. Delmonico has a 3-0 and that he met Lawrence Kasdan's son.
And Colin Hanks.
1-800-449-8686 is the number. Margaret Gray is with us, freelance journalist who... very much supports the Amber Alert, believes in something called a pre-Amber Alert. Certain special children, and she says there's 63 of them in this country, should be protected by having their names and their vital statistics put out before any possible abductions so that they don't get abducted, and in so doing we protect our future and the moon won't crash into the Earth and it won't go into the sun. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
With Margaret Gray, we're talking about her idea for a pre-Amber Alert.
And by the way, Phil, I'm at the Shangri-La restaurant in Malibu, and I'm in the kitchen, and this evening they'll be opening their doors for the first time. They've got a marvelous bruschetta, beautiful starter, lots of garlic, lots of basil, lots of tomato and olive oil, and my breath, and I love garlic, and I'm afraid my breath is pretty bad right now, but I just love what they're doing. Here at
what is it? The Shangri-La.
Shangri-La restaurant in Malibu. Absolutely wonderful.
The pre-Amber Alert, Phil, would be done for, as I mentioned, children that are special. We would use this sound on television and radio broadcasts with the following announcement.
Attention! Attention! This is a pre-Amber Alert!
Then we'd go into the description. Jason J. Delmonico, age 9. He is 4 feet 3, 98 pounds. He is unusually handsome and talented. He has beautiful teeth. His favorite color is cranberry. His likes in a girl are honesty and a sense of humor and pretty eyes. His dislikes in a girl, tomboyishness, butchness, and the fact that they will show off in athletics. His favorite food, the hamburgers at Johnny Rockets. His least favorite food, radishes. Favorite band, 98 Degrees. Favorite actor, Freddie Prinze Jr.
And that's the pre-Amber Alert.
Yes.
Look, Margaret, I don't know how this is going to help.
Just read it for God Christ's sake.
I don't like your language either.
Attention!
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me get to, is it Jandy?
Yes, Jandy.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, I want to know how she plans on protecting these children if she's got them out there and people see them. To me, that just makes them, you know, obvious to the abductor. These are the children you're going to be abducting. Here they are. How do you plan on protecting them?
They wouldn't try it. They wouldn't try it in a million years. They know those children are being looked at very carefully. They wouldn't go near them.
I don't see how that can be. Because, I mean,
well,
not only that,
way.
How can you say they're the special children? Every child out there is special. They have something special about them. Or what their grade point average is. They
I agree
all
with
are
that.
Special.
Did you go to Montessori?
Do what?
Did you go to Montessori?
No, I did not.
All right. In order to go to Montessori, you have to be a brain surgeon. My little boy and many of these children went to Montessori.
What is Montessori? Is that?
It's a kind of school.
All right. I don't know anything about it. But if you say...
Absolutely. You have to be a rocket scientist to get in. It's really interesting.
And not only that, I mean, you say your child is so smart. Your child could be out there trying to save the Earth from the moon hitting it. But you know what? That person who's standing beside them, helping them along the way with the study, is probably the one who didn't go to Montessori school. And it's just
I don't
smart.
Doubt. I don't doubt that we miss a few. I don't doubt that some...
You miss a few, you miss a lot.
Some may, unfortunately, slip through the cracks. But what I am saying is this. Right now, scientists tell us between now and the year 3000, there is a 1 in 6 chance that the moon can hit the Earth. What do we do if we...
Are you telling me that you're worried about that?
Oh, I see, Phil. So you don't worry about future generations.
The moon hits the Earth and the Earth crashes into the sun.
Well, I worry about... If we lose one of the 63, Satan could defeat Jesus. Now,
she's more worried about her son's butt.
Now, do you think it's funny?
Do we think what's funny?
That Satan could defeat Jesus in the rapture?
Ain't gonna happen. You ain't gonna let your Bible have you.
I don't hear either one of you commenting on that.
Oh, I see. So if we make sure that Jason J. Delmonico is safe, Satan won't defeat Jesus. I don't understand. I do understand from the standpoint that we need to keep the very special children among us obviously well-tutored and encouraged, but every child needs to encouragement, and certainly every child is deserving of safety.
And that's why we have an Amber Alert, Phil.
Well, then if we're going to do a pre-Amber Alert, let's get every name and face of every child out there.
And
it's not possible. Would you two be practical instead of being so working-class hero about this? Be practical. If we can't say
we're doing pre-Amber Alerts with the ID brace, with the ID stuff. Have you not seen that when the police came out to the mall?
If we can't save them all, let's save a few. Did you ever see a film called, I think it was called When Worlds Collide? The Earth is threatened, and so they only put a few of the most intelligent on a spaceship to send it to another planet. Don't you agree with that?
You need to come out of Hollywood, sweetheart.
What the hell? What?
It was called When Worlds Collide.
First we got the moon hitting the Earth, now we got When Worlds Collide.
Yeah. You know what? Neither one of you went to Montessori. That's why you're both stupid.
Oh, okay. Well.
She finds it funny. I don't think it's funny when we're talking about the future. It happened on The Simpsons, too.
Oh, my.
Thank you for your call. Sue, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
I can't believe how ridiculous this woman is. I think she ought to get her child and the other 62 and form their own little Aryan nation, and they can protect their children and start their own little society. If she's, I think
do you believe in protecting
something.
Children?
This woman is just obnoxious.
Do you believe in
this
protecting?
This woman is so obnoxiously ridiculous. I can't believe an actual person would think this way unless
do
they're
you
smoking
believe
crack.
In protecting
Honey,
children?
Honey, what are you smoking or what kind of
well,
LSD
are you
doing?
If you don't like
because
protecting children.
You are
children.
Absolute Montessori
so
if they have the money
language.
To do it.
Watch your language, Sue.
Yeah, listen to the mouth
anybody
on you.
Can go to Montessori if they have the money to pay for it. You
no.
don't have to be a rocket scientist.
No, that's bull crap.
You have to have the money.
That is bull because you have to be very intelligent to get
no,
into
don't.
Montessori.
No, you don't. You obviously don't understand what Montessori schools
Montessori
are.
Is a special educational system
no,
that
it
only
is
brain
not.
Surgeons
it
get in.
It is an open learning system, and if your kid didn't play with his food, he didn't get past the oral stage in his development, and maybe that's why you're so obsessed with his butt, because you didn't play with your food either.
You know something, I'm a mother that loves her son, and I'm sorry that that's
no,
a foreign
honey, you
concept
are beyond
to you.
That.
It's a foreign concept
you are
to you.
Have, you've got an obsession
got
about your own
that
child.
You've got children that like to go into their diapers
are,
and throw it on the wall.
You have sexual repression going on.
You know something, are you a psychiatrist?
You are so sexually repressed,
are you a psychiatrist?
It's not even funny.
Well, you keep bringing up sex and drugs, so you must know
honey,
more
about it
than
I do. Honey, you're the one that's talking about your kid's butt, and he's not even preteen yet.
You're the one that's talking about LSD and crack.
Yeah, but that's what you must be doing because you've got the mentation for it.
Okay, so you would be crying in your suit.
I had a few brain cells.
And if the next George Clooney is strapped down with duct tape face down on a urine-soaked mattress, I guess you think that's all right. I'm trying to
what
say...
What the hell are you talking about, dear?
I just...
What planet do you live on?
You want me to slow down and I will talk slow for you. If the next George Clooney is...
Don't come on.
You know what? The world does not revolve around Hollywood.
Let's not be,
Did you ever see When Worlds Collide?
Will you stop with that movie already? I understand.
Well, anybody that thinks The Simpsons is, you know, predestination for the world is really...
All
really
right.
lost
Sue,
it.
Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Kat, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Okay, I just want to address this lady that is advertising her son so highly. There have got to be perverts listening. Any idiot that can go out and get a crisscross dictionary is going to find you, and your son may be gone just because of his cute
not
ass.
Not if there's a pre-Amber Alert. Not
I
if
have
there's a
10 children,
Amber
17
alert.
Grandchildren. I never advertised any of my children like that. And three-quarters of them went to Montessori. As long as you have the money to get them in there, they can go.
What are they doing
they
now?
They don't have to be bright.
What are they doing
I
now?
I have a 163 IQ. I would never talk about my children on the radio the way you have. Shame on you!
What am I saying that isn't so? I said my son's brilliant. He's smart. He's got a 3.0.
Oh, keep it up!
He's
some
got
idiot... Some idiot will hear you, and then you'll be finished. You'll be done with your problem, and you and your husband
we'll
can
be,
go about your affairs.
And we'll be waiting for him.
Because obviously you don't want to keep your child intact.
And we'll be waiting for him. Don't you understand, old woman?
Why don't you just advertise him in the meat market?
Lady.
Shame on you.
Oh, you don't know your ass from 40 cents a week. I'm talking
about...
Oh,
well, that's why all 10 of my kids are alive, and the 17 grandchildren are just fine.
All 10
my
of
kids
them.
Don't go around flaunting their
yeah,
children.
Right. And how much oil did your boy sell last week?
You know,
what are you talking about?
Because I think I saw one at the gas station.
Look, here's the
No, my dear. No. They sell million-dollar yachts and things like that.
Right,
they're
very successful, huh, Kat?
Your IQ must be really, really low because nobody would put their child out in the air like that.
My IQ is 121.
Oh, well, that's too bad because mine's 163
How
and the average of my children is 135.
They lie
so
about those
your
things.
Your child is
yeah.
probably, if you did his homework for him, gee, he's got a 3-0 something.
Let me ask you something. 10 children? How many fathers did that take?
Okay,
three of them.
Now
three
we're
of
getting...
them.
Three of them?
Yeah.
Wow.
Some of them died. My husband's died.
Well, I don't doubt it. You probably killed them.
Maybe. I sure as hell wasn't a good cook.
Well, I wouldn't think you'd be a good cook when you're spending all your time on your back.
On my back, all my children could write their own names before they went in school, and they didn't go in pre-kindergarten or kindergarten either.
You haven't told
and
your
I
legs
cried when the summer was over because I loved them. And I sure as hell wouldn't have... Oh, I had to fight with them to keep them from wearing bikinis when they rode horseback. They're all excellent horsemen. Isn't that something? Can your kid do all that?
Well, head them up and move them out.
You yeah,
know,
my right.
Boy, it's going to be
okay, ladies. We've sort of
listen to the talk show host. He can't even do a show. You know,
What's the name of your eldest
it's
son?
It's really hard to do a show when you've got an idiot on the air. You're
know
supposed to be able to talk sense.
Listen, I could write my name if it was Cat. And by the way, how do you spell that?
Well,
how do you spell your name?
Put an ad out. Put an ad out. Put your name in it and your phone number and everything, and make sure that they know that your son has a beautiful ass, and then somebody will take him off your hands for you,
look,
and you will be free again.
Look, Mrs. Clampett, when you go out to the cement pond...
Okay. Can we perhaps get some...
No, seriously, how do you spell your name? Cat, how do you spell your name?
You don't know?
You're afraid to spell your name because you probably misspell it, don't you? Go ahead, how do you spell it?
Let's see.
Wait a minute,
I have to wait till one of my kids gets in from their shovel.
Yeah, call your kids in
so that they can remind me, I forgot.
Yeah, that's right, ask one of your kids how to spell cat. And when he's
That's
done,
right.
ask him to spell his
yeah,
name.
Yeah, but they haven't get off the shuttle yet. They're out there making sure the moon stays in orbit.
Off the shovel?
The shuttle. Shuttle.
Oh, the one from the airport. Good for them.
Oh, you've got a doozy on this time. I'll tell
Man,
you what.
You
I'm
really
sure that
nuts,
I'm not
lady.
The only one whose blood pressure went out of whack.
I'll tell you this much. I love my son, and I'm protecting
oh,
him.
Oh, yeah, I
while
can
your
see.
Kids
You're
are out running around
ribbon.
On a shovel and a shuttle or whatever the hell it is they do.
The space shuttle. The space program.
Space.
Oh, she doesn't know about that.
Oh, I know about
space,
all right.
Because she only knows that the moon's going to crash into the Earth.
You know, that happens to be something that scientists are worried about. And if we can keep these children alive, we can keep the moon from hitting the Earth and then colliding into the sun.
Your kids are probably going to do nothing but sit around and look at themselves in the mirror.
And what are your kids doing? They're digging ditches or running the shuttle from the airport.
None of my kids dig ditches. None of them dig ditches.
What space is that, between the ears? At least my kids don't ride horseback naked with a shovel.
All right.
What?
First they're riding a bare-assed on a horse, and now they're in the space shuttle. Whatever.
All right, Kat, I think you made some good points.
I hope so.
Thank you very much for your call.
I hope nobody else advertises their children in the air.
I know you love your children, but I love mine
Bye-bye.
More. I love mine more than you.
All right. I think Kat won that argument. How do you spell your name? K-A-T. Yeah, you better go get your kids in and spell it for you. And how's your eldest son spell his name? Bo. Anyway, the voice of Margaret was performed by me in that bit, and those were all people that thought that that was real, and that's The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And we're going to present now a flashback from yesterday's show. Jim Sadler, Dr. Jim Sadler, is a paranormalist. He's a medium who can talk to the dead, and he crosses over and talks to the dead spouses of elderly people to find out where all the bank accounts are and where all the pins are. The pin, you know, you know what? This was a confusing hour. Anyway, he goes over, he gets the information, then he tells the other person so that they know where the money is right after the one dies. It's all explained in a bit. Here we go.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Dr. Jim Sadler is a man who claims that he can cross over.
This
that is contact, talk to the spirits of recently deceased individuals. He has an actual business where people can pay him a fee, and you talk to the deceased husband or wife
exactly.
of a senior citizen.
That's what
correct?
I was trying to say.
That is right, Phil. And we do it from their home, and we do it with great respect.
And you claim that the deceased husband or wife will let that living husband or wife know where the money is, where the PIN numbers are, where the credit cards are, and they'll be able to get their affairs in order.
That is also correct. You've got a lot of seniors out there that are being taken advantage of.
Well, I'm going to... All right, before I ask you any questions, you do it in the home, and you say you put the other person into a trance?
Yeah, I use hypnosis, and I come into the home, and you have to pay respect to what it is you're about to do. And that is, you are about to contact the spirits of the dead. I come into the room, I have a portable pipe organ, which provides a trance-like music, which I play, and which affords the subject to get into this hypnotic state, and allows me to also get into a hypnotic state where the spirit of the dead spouse can enter.
Can you give us an example when you say hypnotic music?
All right. This is a portable pipe organ that I keep, and I can bring this into any home, and I can give it a... Can you hear me, Phil?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's like... Can you hear that?
Yes, I can.
La, 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 la. And it's very... Okay. See what I'm doing? It's very spooky.
You play this while the...
You're playing this while...
What is that song?
It's something that I wrote. I wrote this for the trance-like. Okay, so really what we're trying to do is...
So that's something you wrote that you play?
You play to put the people into the trance. Okay?
Because it's really spooky? I mean...
No, it's just, it affords respect for the dead. Keep in mind again that we're contacting the spirits of the dead. You have to have appropriate atmosphere. The dead will not be mocked. And the dead, if they are disrespected, will come back and be upset with you. And this is where we have hauntings. I also use a smoke machine, so I can show you here. I'll play the song. Now, you can't see the smoke here.
So what do you got, a smoke machine going?
Huh?
You got a smoke machine?
Right. And I get the subject to show me a picture of the one that the dead, you know, whatever it is, a husband or wife. Then I shake and I vibrate as I prepare for the spirit to enter me. And as I vibrate, that's when I give the subject a small dose of a Hypnol or a relaxant. And see, so when I'm being respectful to the dead, all right? Now, once I do that, then they're in the
trance.
In the trance, then the dead one comes into me, and then he tells me where everything is.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah. All right. That's pretty cool. All that crap is on our website, philhenryshow.com, philhendrieshow.com. Check out our website. We have audio archives of the funniest stuff in the history of radio right there.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Fox and the producers of American Idol are monitoring the phone slammers that are trying to sway the outcome of the show, and they'll take action if the callers have an impact on the show. Phone slammers are people that power dial. They have access to high-tech equipment. They're jamming phone lines when the voting takes place on American Idol. Some of these people can cast as many as 10,000 votes a night from a single phone. So what they're trying to do with their phone equipment and the, in some instances, high-tech power dialing equipment that they have is to alter the outcome of the voting on American Idol. Now, I don't know if that's illegal, but if it is illegal, I'd like to say, just on behalf of me and this show, that we still support it 150%. Phone slamming and... jamming and cranking any radio show and any television show in this country is endorsed by the Phil Hendry Show. Because if you know anything about our radio program, and if you're new to the show, you'll find it out soon enough, this show is about destroying the so-called integrity, I put that in quotes, and the so-called credibility of the modern media machine, because there hasn't been any for a long time, as you probably know, and you've never really been able to do anything about it. On this program, we point it up each and every day. We satirize it each and every day. Now, when I found out about people slamming American Idol, I said, this is great. So, keep it up. Keep doing it until they lose their minds over there. Keep doing it until they have to spend more money on monitoring equipment and the like, and eventually they just have to take the show off the air. Do it to any talk show you hate. Crank it. Slam it. Jam the lines. Because you're not getting any truth there anyway. I mean, the people that call talk shows, as we've often said, are just wannabes and chronics and their groupies, and they're people that are, you know, like to hear themselves talk. So you're not getting a fair representation of America there. What you're getting is whatever it is the screener wants to put on the air. So by all means, do whatever you have to do to make life miserable for the rooted and the institutional media in this country. The most important thing, said whoever it was they were talking to that show, is the integrity and validity of the phone vote. Yeah, well, you know what? It's a stupid show, okay? I mean, it's funny to watch when that guy rips, especially that Limey rips into people. But who cares who wins, you know? All I watch it for is when that one British guy starts ripping somebody an ass. I think that's great. It has come to light that about 100 power dialers with access to high-tech equipment are jamming our phone lines in the Votes for American Idol. These people can cast as many as 10,000 votes a night from a single phone. Although American Idol producers say the votes have been insignificant, producers are worried more and more people will start the phone slamming in an attempt to dictate who stays and who goes on the reality show. Fox has been logging upwards of 10 million viewer phone votes a week on American Idol, one of the summer's biggest hits. Their worries should be made reality. More and more people should start phone slamming, and more people should do this so that the people at American Idol have a more difficult time doing their job. Now you say, well, what if they do it to you, Phil? Well, you don't want to do it to me because I'm the only radio show in America that tells the truth on how this business works. And I'm the only show that actually holds it up in the bright, white, hot spotlight of truth, where you can see that the topics are baloney and the callers are baloney. And really what you ought to be doing is laughing more than anything else. On this program, you do. The other shows you listen to, it's, you know, there's these self-important people who want to make you think that it's all for real. So I suggest that you actively crank, slam, and otherwise make life miserable for every talk. Well, you know what? I wouldn't bother with the small guys because they're just trying to get a call. The big guys, the real big names, the big stars, the big shows, slam and jam and crank and absolutely make their lives miserable. We endorse it. We support it. We give it our good housekeeping seal of approval. We dig it.
I get my cardiovascular, or whatever you call it, every day.
Now that's truth. She gets her cardiovascular every day, and she's also going to look at one of those Spanish houses with the Caballana on it. Anna Nicole Smith, we got a timeline on little Anna Nicole and how her life's been going. Where'd that go? Anna Nicole Smith. 1969 to 1985, born to poor parents, Anna Nicole Smith grows up in Media, Texas, population 7,000, where the major employer is a state-run school for retarded children.
Oh, the kitchen.
She drops out of high school to embark upon a glorious career at Jim's Crispy Fried Chicken. Right there was stop number one, and right there was mistake number one. Hello. Jim's Crispy Fried Chicken?
Oh, the kitchen.
There you go. Smith is a single mom between 1985 and 1991. She's a single mom making $50 a day as a topless dancer. I had to comment on her weight, her boss says. She wasn't allowed to work nights. Luckily, a wheelchair-bound oil tycoon came in during the day.
I think it's like a Mexican.
No, he wasn't a Mexican. He was that cat. Whatever his name was, J. Howard Marshall, who hires Mexicans.
Hey, so I swallow.
All right. Then, between 1991 and 1994, securing the love of geriatric billionaire J. Howard Marshall.
I think it's like a Mexican type, like a Canabana.
That's it. It's a Canabana. It ain't a Cabana. Smith milks him, if you'll pardon the pun, for $60,000 a month before they're even married. Life changes, and she wins Playboy spreads and modeling contracts. So she spreads and play. I mean, she won a Playboy spread and a modeling contract. Between 1994 and 1995, the lovebirds marry.
Hey, so I swallow.
Marshall's son, who has control over his dad's estate, cuts off the happy bride and bans her from seeing his father. What a drag. Here's this poor old guy in a wheelchair for the first time in his life. For the first time in years, this guy has got something sweet. Something fully packed. And the kid cuts him off?
Quit farting.
So anyway, he cuts off his old man. She later admits, I was taking over 100 pills a day. I got fat. I was having seizures. I got fat. Baby, what happened to that weekend job at Jim's Crispy Fried Chicken? From 1995 to the year 2000, when Marshall finally kicks it, his son and Smith fight over the ashes and end up splitting them in two urns. After filing for bankruptcy and losing several legal fights for the corpse's cash, Smith finally gets a judge to hand her $475 million.
I'm doing a porno movie. Woo-hoo!
Then in 2001, on a nationally televised appeal, the jury awards the old man's cash to his son, screwing Smith.
I'm just going to shut up.
And then, and finally, in the year 2002, a bizarre trial that found Smith so out of it that she had to stop and think before naming the year in which she was born. The judge became so irritated that he asked if she was on medication. Anna Nicole's response?
I get my cardiac flow.
No, she said, not at this time. Are you on medication? She said, not at this time. He later calmed down enough to award her $88 million. It was a victory for a husband's love for his wife, babbled her lawyer.
Oh, the kitchen.
So there you go. And really, for Anna Nicole, what it's always been about...
Oh, the kitchen.
You know, everybody knocks her weight, but you know what? There's a guy like me. For every guy that knocks her, there's a guy like me that loves to have a woman say...
Oh, the kitchen.
I'm telling you. My wife, it's very interesting. I told my wife, if you lose one more pound, things are going to get trouble around here, okay? Well, I want to just forget about losing weight. If you lose one more pound. She walked in the other day wearing one of these knit skirts. You know those single-piece knit skirts that kind of go down and then the rear end kind of goes out and then there's just the legs and the high heels? I said, what are you talking about? You look fantastic. Well, you can see my ass. It's like a shelf. Yes, that's the point. Well, I don't know. Come on! Now repeat after me.
Oh, the kitchen.
Right. I said, if you lose 1 pound more than what you're doing, just forget it, will you? Well, I want to go work out and I want to get on the... Oh, man, you want to go work out and get on the bicycle again, huh?
That's right.
I want you to repeat after me.
Hey, so I swallow.
I mean, repeat after me.
Oh, the kitchen.
There you go. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, as you know, we've been auditioning bands to play my birthday party at my house on the 31st of August. Yesterday, we listened to 5 bands. Today, we got 4 more bands. If you'd like to be a band that we audition on the air, and it's possible, you got the night open, August 31st, to play my birthday party, send in an MP3, no longer than 45 seconds of your band's music. Send your name, send your email address, send your contact phone number, and the band's name and the song. And we'll get back to you, okay? So in a second here, we'll listen to a few groups. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
I turned 50 on September 1st. I don't care who knows it. And, you know, this idea that you have to hide your age, maybe, I guess maybe you do, it's not hanging me up. Maybe if my life was an absolute waste. But, you know, I think we do for instance, the radio show. It's probably better than anything else on the air. Funnier than anything else on the air, I know that. But, you know, for some people, it's probably not news talky enough. It's a thing, I got this discussion with somebody the other day who said, well, your show is a news talk show? Is it? It's an entertainment show. It's a theatrical show. Oh, well, you don't like, do you talk about this? I said, let me ask you something. How come talk radio has been co-opted by all the news directors and all we have to talk about is news? I don't see, you know, freaking David Letterman comes out and does like 15 minutes of a monologue that moderately is relevant in terms of news. Leno, you know, does like 20 minutes and then they're on to the other stuff. So how come talk radio has got to be doing all this news talk? You want to know why? It's because the news directors took it over. So as a result, most of these guys that program these stations are so confused as to what direction they want their radio station to go. On the one hand, they want to be a news talk station. On the other hand, not every day there's news. On one hand, you got to, you know, keep on top of the big events. On the other hand, you can beat them to death. On one hand, there was 9/11. On the other hand, yeah, you know, 9/11's a year ago. On the one hand, children do get abducted, and we need to be on top of those stories. On the other hand, there comes a time when the audience realizes that you're now pandering to them. You're pandering. You know what that means? It means you're trying to pretend like you really are concerned, when in point of fact, all you're doing is you're trying to fill up airtime with what you think is relevant, and it ain't. I had a guy say to me once, am I talking too much about myself? Let's go to the...
Huh?
Let's now go to our bands. No, I had a guy say to me, well, you know, your show's neither fish nor fowl. What a dumb thing for a guy to say. He was a boss of mine, works for this company. Don't want to say his name, but his initials are, I'm kidding. Anyway, what do you mean I'm neither fish or fowl? I talk about crap. Sometimes I talk about it with the phony voices, and sometimes I don't. And it's all kinds of stuff. And I'm not going to sit there and pretend like I care each and every second of the day, morning, noon, and night, ad nauseum, 7 days a week until you're bleeding from the ears about abducted kids or terrorists or, you know, whatever other phony baloney issue there is that these guys pretend like they care about. I'm not going to do it. And I ain't going to inject myself into the news, okay? I got other stuff to do. I don't need a news story to make a show. Now, getting to my... This all was, you know, a preamble to the fact that I don't care that I'm turning 50, right? Because as far as I'm concerned, you know, if you're lucky, we're all going to get there someday. And, like, you know, we're doing a highly relevant and very funny radio show. So what do I care, man? There's cats that are in this business like half my age. They can't find their ass with both hands. So I know where it's at. Now... As I turn 50, we're going to have ourselves a birthday party, and I need a band to play the gig. Yesterday, we debuted five different bands, two of which we thought were pretty good. And the other three we threw in the garbage. Today, we have four other bands we're going to listen to. Let's start now with a band called The Markers, and this is Santiago.
It was Oche in La Noche, down in southern Mexico. When from the darkness there crept a shadow, it was Sancho the Bandido. He saw Maria sleeping, he took and put her in a bag, and then he threw her.
All right, thank you. Now let's move on to Velcro Merkin with Bad Hookah.
I seen her love, there was in the crowd to see we.
That sucks. All right, let's go on now to a band. They call themselves the Meat Whistles, whatever. Blows. Now let's go to Drunk Horse with Ascension Strut. Man, nothing today, man. All right, nothing today. So, from yesterday, we had three or four bands which are very good, I thought. Two bands that were very good, I thought. And so we'll keep looking, we'll keep hoping, we'll keep praying, we'll keep our fingers crossed. If you'd like to send an MP3 of your band to, you know, maybe play our birthday party, bandtapes at philhenryshow.com. A 45-second MP3 of your band to bandtapes at philhendryshow.com. It's spelled philhendryshow.com. Actually, from yesterday's show, we liked Reno Jones and Nelson Norwood. What about that Hollywood surfer band? What were those cats? What's the name of those guys? I like them, too. Make sure you include in your email the name of your band and contact name and telephone number. And, of course, we want your return email address as well. A 45-second and no more MP3 of your band to band tapes, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Yeah, the Hillbilly Soul Surfers was good, too. Now, this party is going to be at my house, and I got to somehow let my neighbors know that it ain't going to be the nice, peaceful street. What do? You put a little thing in the envelope? You stick something up their, up their mail chute? Do you cram something right up their mail chute? Do you shove it right up the mail chute? Is that what you do with a little note that says, "Dear neighbors, I'm having a party. It'll end whenever. Hope you can make it. Signed, Phil." With a little bit of my, you know, like my dinner stain on the bottom of it. You know, like a coffee cup ring on the bottom of it. So, you know, we'll do that. It'll be cool. It won't be too rowdy, I don't think, but you never can tell. Plus, I got to get over to Home Depot and buy like 12 tiki torches. See, what I'm going to do is I'm going to line the driveway with tiki torches, stick the band up against a back fence, and everybody will dance on the driveway, and then they can go around the corner and get booze. And we'll have finger foods only. So if you're coming expecting to eat a full meal, forget it. I don't dig that whole balancing the plate on the knee thing, you know, with the fork and the knife and the roast beef. Get out of here. Just give me some of that finger food. You know, the kebabs and that stuffed cheese, the corn dog. Yeah, on a stick, that big breaded dog. Is there anything that could get what's left of your liver bile out of you quicker than one of those Coney Islands? What's that, Bob? You need to puke? Here you go. Have yourself a corn dog. Yes, Darren, how are you?
Oh, yeah. Is this Phil?
Yeah.
Oh, hey. Yeah, listen, I listen to your show all the time. I'm in Lake Park, Florida.
Thanks.
And I just wanted to say it'd be really be cool to... I made a suggestion that they're just throwing it out in the air. You know, if maybe you had a contest or something like that where maybe one of the listeners could come and maybe meet you or something like that. I just think it'd be really cool to be able to do that and sit in on the show. I think you're a genius, honestly. I really do. And I just think it's your show is really, really funny. What I don't know what you would think of that, but I think you'd be really good at that.
The show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Down through the years, we've fought the temptation to categorize third world people, that is, people in Africa and the underdeveloped nations of Asia and some in South America. We've fought the temptation to, well, if you will, profile them as sort of a sweating, heaving mob of stupid people. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, boy, you really just go ahead, Phil. Why don't you fire both barrels? Stupid? Well, just, you know, unsophisticated, superstitious, dumb people, right? But how can one fight that temptation when one reads news stories like this, where a mob of people set fire to a police station in India after they thought they saw a mysterious flying object? Now, you may laugh and say, but what you're really saying is, look at all of those third world darkies down there. They don't get the UFOs. That's what you're saying, so don't tell me that you're not saying that. We read these stories. A mysterious flying object said to attack sleeping villagers has sparked mass hysteria and rioting across the northern India state of Uttar Pradesh. Police had to shoot one man dead, injured 12 others. A mob of hundreds stormed the police station. A mob of hundreds stormed the police station. The object, described as a flying sphere emitting red and blue light, is said to strike in the middle of the night, leaving victims with burns or scratches on their faces and limbs. At least 7 unexplained deaths in the area have been attributed to what the Indian people call Muknukwa, sparking panic among villagers. Now, look, there's all kinds of UFO people in this country, all kinds of people that believe in UFOs. Ain't none of them burned down a police station or went mobbing over there to the sheriff's station, you know, even though if we were to believe the blob, they have. I mean, that's kind of our image of ourselves, right? The blob, you know, it's the mass hysteria of people running from the blob, but we've never hysterically run from anything of this nature in the history of this country, have we? Why is that? Very simply this, we're white. And because we're white, nah, I'm kidding, but we're civilized. We're civilized. Well, boy, you're really digging the hole deep for yourself now, Phil, aren't you? Are you saying that people of India are not civilized? I'm saying that in the rural reaches of certain parts of this world, we have not developed much beyond the turn of the 20th century. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you got it. Now, it wasn't too long ago in this country when War of the Worlds was broadcast by Orson Welles. People went ape and pulled out guns and thought the Martians were going to get them, right? But we've moved past that. Then came the Phil Henry Show, and we would pretend like there was some pachuco out there on the freeways, and he was, taking pot shots at cars with a slingshot, and it was really just a big joke. And people would call the police. Well, now the police know that it's just a bunch of hokum from the Henry Show. But never have there been mobs of people storming police stations. Why is this? Why is the fact that the Indians riot and we don't? Very simply this. We're white people, and they're not. I'm kidding around. Officials have suggested a raft of explanations from an alien invasion. Oh, thank you very much. Officials have said, well, it could be Martians. Oh, thank you very much, Ahmed. Well, you know, you asked me. Perhaps the most bizarre theory was that of Police Deputy Inspector General K.N.D. Dwivedi, who said that the assailant was a genetically engineered insect produced by anti-national elements from outside India to cause mayhem. So in other words, the Pakistanis made it. Craig buys the alien invasion theory. I think that the people there are just goofy. I think it's probably something like an airplane, but they don't know, you know, they don't know what the hell it is. I think it's something very explainable, like, you know, it's like a super soaker or maybe some kid's frisbee, but they got it up there. In common Indian parlance, this is taken to mean that it was the work of the Pakistani spy agency. Villagers across the region no longer sleep outside as they usually do during the sweltering summer heat and long power failures, fearing that they will be easy prey for this Martian. In some villages, the entire population are squeezing into the headman's house for the night, seeking shelter and safety. Come on! Is it any wonder why we are now at war with certain elements of this world? I'm not suggesting the rural people of India, but this is about the mentality that we're dealing with Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda thinks the same thing. Take those guys out of those towel wraps, and they think that there's a Martian flying across the sky. If they ain't got Allah to pray to, and they haven't got Osama to collect a paycheck from, they think it's War of the Worlds. They're just like undereducated and severely misinformed people. This is the gap now that exists in the world today. Not that it wasn't always there, but man, I know about it more than ever before. When I'm getting the big news flash here from the World News, BBC, New Delhi, that there's guys up in the northern part of India running for their lives from a flying saucer, and they're mobbing the police station because they think they think it's an attack from Venus. And the officials are saying, well, it could be Mars. I don't... what do you know about it? I'm just saying... Having lost faith in the police, villagers have formed nocturnal protection squads. In Shanwa village, where the attacks are said to have started, men patrol all night, banging drums and shouting slogans to frighten off intruders. Residents have dismantled television aerials and taken satellite dishes down from the roofs, fearing that they may attract a mysterious object. Even radios have fallen silent. The Times of India reported the National Intelligence Bureau was sufficiently concerned to send its own agents to investigate the alien invasion. They said there was a flash of light like a photocopier, which this is like why I can't get out of my mind the image of the villagers with the torch chasing Frankenstein, only in this case, it's for real. Like there was a whole line of Mexican people who like for days, descended upon an old broken down gas station in the Mexican desert. It was a broken down old crumbling wall of a gas station, and literally thousands of people would come on a pilgrimage every day to look at the face of Jesus on the side of this gas station wall. And finally, people came and investigated and realized that it was a faded poster of Willie Nelson that had, you know, was advertising a bar gig that he was doing in town. I mean, see what I'm saying? So, what the hell are we talking about here? If I can go there, it's Willie Nelson. Well, thank you for explaining. What are you cats talking about? There's like 50,000 of you out here waiting to see Jesus? We are simple people. Simple people? You're idiots. It's Willie Nelson. Scratch your finger on the wall. See? The poster's coming off. Well, there's a high-flying thing. I don't know. It's a helicopter. Well, what's that light? Your photocopier? Well, why is it green and blue? Christmas lights. All right, thanks. You're welcome. Get out of here. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Okay, I'm going to do a flashback, but first a little update on Lizzie Grubman. And maybe you don't know who she is. And I didn't really, and I sort of vaguely was aware of her profession as public relations. But what she did on a summer night in Southampton, Long Island, she backed her SUV into 16 people outside of a nightclub in the summer of 2001. Because I guess she was angry or something. She wasn't allowed in the club, was that it? And they didn't know that she was Lizzie Grubman. And so she got really angry and backed her car into 16 people. I suppose some were injured seriously. And she's going to be, if she pleads guilty, doing 60 days at a place called Suffolk County DUI Alternative Facility. And her daily routine will include... You know, it's going to be very, very Spartan. She'll have to go out and, like, sweep the yard and you know, share a TV with a lot of people. And there's something, I don't know why it is that we like to see people like this brought down to earth, but it's just so much fun. And once you go on her website and get a look at her kisser, then you really think it's fun. Not that I'm not making fun of her looks, because she's not a bad-looking woman, but she's got a face on her like, meh. She's got one of those, you know, like, have you seen her kiss her there, Janice? It's on her website. You know, Lizzie Grubman, PRD, it's GrubmanPR.com. Since its inception in 1966, Lizzie Grubman Public Relations quickly became one of the most visible PR firms, and she's a PR, she's a publicist to all of the heavyweights. When she goes to this drug facility, privacy will be a thing of the past. She'll have to share a dorm-style room with up to 10 other inmates. Smoking's prohibited. She'll have to share a TV with all the other inmates. There's no cable, only what's available by antenna. Her days will start with a brief cleanup time, breakfast, and then a group exercise session from 7:45 to 8. From 8:30 to 11, there are group sessions on topics like parenting skills and spirituality. At 11, lunch is delivered from the kitchen at the regular jail across the street. It's not bad, said one of the spokespeople. A lot of the food is produced on the county farm, and you get a balanced diet based on public health guidelines. Until 1:30, inmates get individual counseling or leisure time, which can be used for keeping mandatory journals or doing homework. From 1:30 to 2:45, there are group drug and alcohol treatment deals. Inmates are supposed to do chores, and then after 6 o'clock, you're raped in your cell by 10 inmates. And so, Lizzie Grubman. All right, 1-800-449-8686. From yesterday's show, we got Dean Wheeler. Dean Wheeler, who said, since 9/11, we've been a bunch of big chickens.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
The man doesn't have a brain. I mean, just be counseling people. I lived in Saudi Arabia. I know what the other side is like.
Right.
I know what is happening. There will not be one American safe in the whole
well,
world.
Well, wait, Brooke, but the reality is there was only one terror attack. That was on 9/11, and there have been no others. So what are we afraid of?
We're afraid of, there was also another attack earlier you know, with the same building. There are terror attacks everywhere. I mean,
well,
when
but
I was...
not in America. And you know, when the first World Trade Center bombing happened, we thought it was isolated, and it was.
We'd be damn fools if we didn't pay attention.
Well, I'm not.
Are you saying that? Are you saying we should not pay attention?
No, I'm not. I'm saying face the fact that over the last year, how many times, Brooke, have you been worried, or you know, soiled yourself in the last 11 months over fear?
Many, and I'm not scared. I have a master's degree. My husband is a doctor. And I'll tell you what,
yeah.
I'm thinking of getting a sailboat. This is the first time ever I have been frightened that something else will really happen in this country.
Okay, then this is appropriate.
And he's a jerk.
Why are you playing
that
chicken?
I don't really think he's a counselor.
Isn't it appropriate, Brooke, in your
what?
Case? Don't you think this is appropriate in your case?
Him laughing?
You don't think that's appropriate?
For him to laugh?
No, that's not laughing. That is a chicken.
He's playing a chicken clucking.
Apparently that's foolish.
Why is that foolish? Think about it. The reality is, in my practice, I try to get people to confront what is real, what is in focus, and what's out of focus. And you say you're going to buy a sailboat? What are you going to sail where? To Africa? What? I don't understand that. You're getting a sailboat to go... What are you
I have lived in Saudi Arabia where we always looked underneath the hoods of the cars looking for bombs. I've lived in that time period.
Well,
not you're a fool.
You said that you soiled yourself many times over the last year. How can you be a counselor when you yourself are filled with fear?
I am not filled with fear. I'm filled with intelligence, which is something you're lacking with.
I'm lacking intelligence.
Yes.
I am revolutionary. Let me ask you something.
If you're a revolutionary, then go do something that'll benefit us. Don't be saying to people, don't be frightened. Absolutely, they should be aware of what's happening.
Oh, of course we're aware of what's happening, but nothing else
has
happened.
No, we're not aware.
We're standing there with egg on our face because we looked for all the Europeans are standing
there. I've lived all over the world. The Europeans are looking at us stupidly because we are thinking of attacking Iraq right now, which they're right.
They are calling us chicken.
No, they're not.
They're doing this behind
my
back.
When was the last time you went overseas?
I was in Europe last week. I was in Switzerland
last
week.
And they told you that we're chickens.
They are standing in rail stations making these...
He says that
they're
standing...
telling you that we're chickens.
He says they're standing in rail stations making chicken sounds every time they see an American.
The only chicken is you.
And you know something else, Brooke?
And you're misleading people.
You admitted you soiled yourself. So
you're misleading and soiling myself?
That's what you admitted to.
Obviously, you're a man that knows nothing except poopy ideas and peeing. You have the same little brain.
Well, you don't sound like a counselor. You sound like a very angry woman. You're in a session with a patient. There's a smell of excrement. You stand up to excuse yourself.
I don't have that problem. Obviously, your
patients
do. They must excrement themselves around you because you obviously have worthwhile to give them.
Exactly. Can we stop with the chicken effects?
No, but this is what we are subjected to as Americans.
No.
All right, Brooke.
Americans are bright, strong people.
Oh, yeah. But
they don't need to put up with a wimp like you.
Europeans consider us to be big babies.
No, I've lived all over Europe.
No, not since 9/11.
You're a jerk.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm sure. They said that Europeans were standing in rail stations doing a chicken walk and like eating feed. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Let me tell you about some of the things that are coming up here on the Phil Hendry Show. Many of them exciting. Many of them just filled with, good cheer. First of all, we're going to be going to Las Vegas, and that is going to be at the end of September. We'd like you to join us for our trip to Las Vegas. And we'll give you the specifics on that when we feel like it.
Bubbles!
Okay. Anyway, we are going to go to Las Vegas. We're going to make our subscribers to the website, our backstage pass holders, they'll be the first ones available to grab the package that we're going to be selling. I can tell you what we're going to be doing in Las Vegas. First off, we'll be doing a broadcast. It'll be the 27th through the 29th. We'll do a full three-hour broadcast of the show. We will have a listener reception. There'll be drinks. There'll be food. There'll be a live band. And, there's some Q&A and just sort of intermingling and hanging out. So that's one of the things that's coming up. And, you know, I think around Thursday we'll have specifics on that. We're also going to go to New York for the 9/11 memorial that's obviously going to be taking place on September the 11th. We'll be there the entire week broadcasting from New York and probably do a decidedly different show on the 11th because it's going to be a very heavy day and we don't want to jump in with things like...
Can you listen to it like Ricky Martin?
Like that. I'll be wearing a lampshade on my head, but not in New York, just in Vegas. We'll also be doing a live show from Salt Lake City for our friends at KALL in Salt Lake City. And that's going to be mid-September as well. So many things, many fun things for us in store. But keep in mind, later this week, we'll give you specifics on the Las Vegas trip, the hotel, the specifics on the price, the number to call, the website to visit, all of the neat things that we do. And at the end of September, we'll have a blast in Vegas. Phil Henry live in Las Vegas at the end of September. Stay tuned for details. So it's going to be a very, very busy month.
I'm going to give it a few days.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8687. I'm just playing around with these Aussie drops. Then we'll get the Anna Nicole Smith drops back in here. You know, we'll just what the hell. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
What I don't like doing is pick... I don't mind a little Pomeranian turd.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Okay, I'm going to do a flashback, but first a little update on Lizzie Grubman. And maybe you don't know who she is. And I didn't really, and I sort of vaguely was aware of her profession as public relations. But what she did on a summer night in Southampton, Long Island, she backed her SUV into 16 people outside of a nightclub in the summer of 2001. Because I guess she was angry or something. She wasn't allowed in the club, was that it? And they didn't know that she was Lizzie Grubman. And so she got really angry and backed her car into 16 people. I suppose some were injured seriously. And she's going to be, if she pleads guilty, doing 60 days at a place called Suffolk County DUI Alternative Facility. And her daily routine will include... You know, it's going to be very, very Spartan. She'll have to go out and, like, sweep the yard and you know, share a TV with a lot of people. And there's something, I don't know why it is that we like to see people like this brought down to earth, but it's just so much fun. And once you go on her website and get a look at her kisser, then you really think it's fun. Not that I'm not making fun of her looks, because she's not a bad-looking woman, but she's got a face on her like, meh. She's got one of those, you know, like, have you seen her kiss her there, Janice? It's on our website. You know, Lizzie Grubman, PR, it's GrubmanPR.com. Since its inception in 1966, Lizzie Grubman Public Relations quickly became one of the most visible PR firms, and she's a PR, she's a publicist to all of the heavyweights. When she goes to this drug facility, privacy will be a thing of the past. She'll have to share a dorm-style room with up to 10 other inmates. Smoking's prohibited. She'll have to share a TV with all the other inmates. There's no cable, only what's available by antenna. Her days will start with a brief cleanup time, breakfast, and then a group exercise session from 7:45 to 8. From 8:30 to 11, there are group sessions on topics like parenting skills and spirituality. At 11, lunch is delivered from the kitchen at the regular jail across the street. It's not bad, said one of the spokespeople. A lot of the food is produced on the county farm, and you get a balanced diet based on public health guidelines. Until 1:30, inmates get individual counseling or leisure time, which can be used for keeping mandatory journals or doing homework. From 1:30 to 2:45, there are group drug and alcohol treatment deals. Inmates are supposed to do chores, and then after 6 o'clock, you're raped in your cell by 10 inmates. And so, Lizzie Grubman. All right, 1-800-449-8686. From yesterday's show, we got Dean Wheeler. Dean Wheeler, who said, since 9/11, we've been a bunch of big chickens.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
The man doesn't have a brain. I mean, just be be counseling people. I lived in Saudi Arabia. I know what the other side is like.
Right.
I know what is happening. There will not be one American safe in the whole
well,
world.
Well, wait, Brooke, but the reality is there was only one terror attack. That was on 9/11, and there have been no others. So what are we afraid of?
We're afraid of there was also another attack earlier, you know, with the same building. There are terror attacks everywhere. I mean,
well,
when
but
I was...
not in America. And you know, when the first World Trade Center bombing happened, we thought it was isolated, and it was.
We'd be damn fools if we didn't pay attention.
Well, I'm not.
Are you saying that? Are you saying we should not pay attention?
No, I'm not. I'm saying face the fact that over the last year, how many times, Brooke, have you been worried, or you know, soiled yourself in the last 11 months over fear?
Many, and I'm not scared. I have a master's degree. My husband is a doctor. And I'll tell you what,
yeah.
I'm thinking of getting a sailboat. This is the first time ever I have been frightened that something else will really happen in this country.
Okay, then this is appropriate.
And he's a jerk.
Why are you playing
that
chicken?
I don't really think he's a counselor.
Isn't it appropriate, Brooke, in your
what?
Case? Don't you think this is appropriate in your case?
Him laughing?
You don't think that's appropriate?
For him to laugh?
No, that's not laughing. That is a chicken.
He's playing a chicken clucking.
Why is that foolish? Why is that foolish? Think about it. The reality is, in my practice, I try to get people to confront what is real, what is in focus, and what's out of focus. And you say you're going to buy a sailboat? What are you going to sail where? To Africa? What? I don't understand that. You're getting a sailboat to go...
I have lived in Saudi Arabia where we always looked underneath the hoods of the cars looking for bombs. I've lived in that time period.
Well,
you're a fool.
You said that you soiled yourself many times over the last year. How can you be a counselor when you yourself are filled with fear? I am not filled with fear.
I'm filled with intelligence, which is something you're lacking with.
I'm lacking intelligence.
Yes.
I am revolutionary. Let me ask you something.
If you're a revolutionary, then go do something that'll benefit us. Don't be saying to people, don't be frightened. Absolutely, they should be aware of what's happening.
Oh, of course we're aware of what's happening, but nothing else
has
happened.
No, we're not aware.
We're standing there with egg on our face because we looked for all the Europeans are standing
there. I've lived all over the world. The Europeans are looking at us stupidly because we are thinking of attacking Iraq right now, they're right.
They are calling us chicken.
No, they're not.
They're doing this behind my back.
When was the last time you went overseas?
I was in Europe last week. I was in Switzerland last week.
And they told you that we're chickens.
They are standing in rail stations making these...
He says that
they're
standing...
telling you that we're chickens.
He says they're standing in rail stations making chicken sounds every time they see an American.
The only chicken is you.
And you know something else, Brooke?
And you're misleading people.
You admitted you soiled yourself. So.
You're misleading and soiling myself?
That's what you admitted to.
Obviously, you're a man that knows nothing except poopy ideas and peeing. You have the same little brain.
Well, you don't sound like a counselor. You sound like a very angry woman. You're in a session with a patient. There's a smell of excrement. You stand up to excuse yourself.
I don't have that problem. Obviously,
you told me that you did.
They must excrement themselves around you because you obviously have nothing worthwhile to give them.
Can we stop with the chicken effects?
No, but this is what we are subjected to as Americans.
No.
All right, look at Brooke.
The Americans are bright, strong people.
Oh, yeah. But
and they don't need to put up with a wimp like you.
Europeans consider us to be big babies.
No, I've lived all over Europe.
No, not since 9/11.
You're a jerk!
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold!
I'm sure. They said that Europeans were standing in rail stations doing a chicken walk. and like, eating feed. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Let me tell you about some of the things that are coming up here on the Phil Henry Show. Many of them exciting. Many of them just filled with, good cheer. First of all, we're going to be going to Las Vegas, and that is going to be at the end of September. We'd like you to join us for our trip to Las Vegas. And we'll give you the specifics on that when we feel like it.
Bubbles!
Okay. Anyway, we are going to go to Las Vegas. We're going to make our subscribers to the website, our backstage pass holders, they'll be the first ones available to grab the opportunity, grab the package that we're going to be selling. I can tell you what we're going to be doing in Las Vegas. First off, we'll be doing a broadcast. It'll be the 27th through the 29th. We'll do a full three-hour broadcast of the show. We will have a listener reception. There'll be drinks. There'll be food. There'll be a live band. And, you know, there's some Q&A and just sort of intermingling and hanging out. So that's one of the things that's coming up. And, you know, I think around Thursday we'll have specifics on that. We're also going to go to New York for the 9/11 memorial that's obviously going to be taking place on September the 11th. We'll be there the entire week broadcasting from New York and probably do a decidedly different show on the 11th because it's going to be a very heavy day and we don't want to jump in with things like...
Can you listen to it like Ricky Martin?
Like that. I'll be wearing a lampshade on my head, but not in New York, just in Vegas. We'll also be doing a live show from Salt Lake City for our friends at KALL in Salt Lake City. And that's going to be mid-September as well. So many things, many fun things for us in store. But keep in mind, later this week we'll give you specifics on the Las Vegas trip, the hotel, the specifics on the price, the number to call, the website to visit, all of the neat things that we do. And at the end of September, we'll have a blast in Vegas. Phil Henry live in Las Vegas at the end of September. Stay tuned for details. So it's going to be a very, very busy month.
I'm going to give it a few days.
1-800-449-8686. I'm just playing around with these Aussie drops. Then we'll get the Anna Nicole Smith drops back in here. You know, we'll just what the hell. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
What I don't like doing is pick... I don't mind a little Pomeranian turd.